I've come down to Essex Road in Islington to meet Melanie McLean, who's the Conservative Party candidate for the constituency of Islington, South and Finsbury. We're sort of a week away from the election, so you've had 3 weeks of effective campaigning in the borough. And how's it going for you?
It's going really well. We're finding support from all areas of the borough, and I'm really excited by that. Very enthusiastic indeed.
I noticed you were sharing an office with the parliamentary candidate for Islington North, who I've just met.
Yes.
Actually, for the Liberals in the building up the top.
Yes,
funny. Yes, do you sort of cross in the lift or in the lobby at all?
Yes, occasionally, yes.
I've noticed, actually, most of the candidates that I've met, in Islington anyway, seem to be quite sporting and respectful of one another. I mean, have you found that?
Yes, I think so, and I think that's the right way to conduct an election, yeah.
I read online that you've got interests in, amongst other things, drama, cooking for friends. So I've done a lot of drama in my time. I've been a performer for 10 years.
So, really?
Where does your interest in drama come from?
Well, it started at school, etc., and then at university. I did quite a lot of TV when I was much younger. And most recently, I did a summer scheme at Webber Douglas Academy.
Which is very well known.
Yes, it has a good reputation, and people like Minnie Driver went there, and who else? Quite a few very well-known people now. I only did the summer scheme, though, so I can't really claim to have gone through any significant level of training in that regard.
But in terms of public speaking, I mean, that must be useful.
Yes, I think, probably that course was useful in that regard, plus all the other things that I've done before then. Yeah, definitely.
I mean, my partner actually is a teacher, and she's just enrolled on a course at Central.
Oh, really? At Central? Yeah. Because they've now gone into partnership with Webber Douglas as well.
Yeah. So tell me, you've obviously been canvassing the borough, and what's the response that you've been getting?
Very good so far.
On the doorstep?
Yeah, very good. Most people are very pleased to hear from us, to hear the message that we're putting out and the alternative ideas that we have. Because, as probably you're aware, we have a Labour MP and a Lib Dem Council, and people are fed up with both of them and realise that it's time for a change and it's time for a completely new direction, which they perceive us as offering.
Do you think people are really fed up with the Labour MP here, or is it just the party, rather? The reason I'm asking is because Chris Smith was extremely well thought of. He's been my constituency MP for, I think, since 1997. Now, he's standing down, which opens up the race somewhat, doesn't it?
I think that people don't necessarily differentiate specifically. We only have a few minutes with them on the doorstep, obviously, and they say, oh, I'm definitely not voting Labour this time. I'm absolutely fed up with them, tends to be the phrase. And equally, they say that they're pretty irritated by the Lib Dem Council, which they perceive to be extremely inefficient, and to engage in measures which have no real interest for them and which they don't see the benefit of for the borough.
As far as I gather, from the information I have, it would take a 13% swing to the Lib Dems for them to take Islington South, and they're the contenders, really, for the seat. Do you think they've got any chance of getting a swing like that in a national election?
Well, first of all, I take issue with your assumption that the Lib Dems are the main contenders here.
Feel free to correct.
If you look at the mayoral elections from last year, we, the Conservatives, came second in those elections with the Lib Dems over 500 votes behind. So I think that the assumption there is perhaps worth looking at again. In terms of our chances here, I don't actually really think in those terms. I think in terms of just getting the absolute maximum possible vote that we can and doing the best that we can.
It's often the case that, it is in fact the norm, that if you're serious about politics, that the first seat or seats that you get to contest are often ones which are a real mountain to climb rather than a likely win. How many times have you contested parliamentary seats before, Melanie?
This is the first time that I've stood, but I'm not sure that that's the case actually in the modern Conservative Party.
Okay.
I have quite a few friends who are standing in safe seats, and they're absolutely delighted about that. And
are they first time?
And they're first time people. They have because seats which are Conservative held at present and with a majority of 8 or 10,000.
So they're really, they're in the safe seats, as you say, absolutely.
So that's great, and it's fantastic also to see that the Conservative Party is open to a very wide range of different candidates and putting people forward for these seats. It's absolutely brilliant.
When did you join the party yourself?
I was a teenager actually when I joined, so quite a while ago.
Oh, come on. I'm 43. I was born in 1962.
I joined when I was 15, actually.
Okay.
So, yeah,
so who was leading the party then?
In those days, it was Margaret Thatcher.
That's what I suspected. Forgive me for digging to get at the roots of your engagement. Thatcher, I mean, whether you love her or loathe her, she maintained respect of the population because she had an incredible authority. Mm. Do you think that the British population as a whole look for that in leadership? Do you think that they actually like authoritarian leaders?
Well, that's a very interesting point. I think that she had many positive aspects, exactly as you say, and I think that the whole package was what appealed to voters. Just as Michael Howard today has many positive aspects, and the whole package there is appealing to voters currently.
What about the issue of having that authority? I shall not be brooked. The lady's not for turning. The Labour Party at the moment is losing core vote because of the, in quotes, authoritarian nature of its leadership. And that's causing people to leave the party because they don't like that. The lefties don't really like that. Having said that, I think a lot of people who are supposedly socialist inclined who would absolutely vote for the leader that they considered that the nation was best in the hands of. Pardon my terrible construction, but they're actually looking for strong leadership. So if I can just rephrase that and ask again, do you think that there is a part of us as a people, no matter what our political complexion, that looks for that in leadership? Or
yes, you raise an interesting point. I think that the way that I tend to look at it is just to say we have a very good leader in the shape of Michael Howard. He's currently appealing to the British people tremendously, and all power to him. So I guess I look at it currently rather than analysing the past.
How do you think the national campaign's going?
Very well. Very well indeed.
Even with the fact that after leading on immigration, it was found that it was the sixth most important topic for people and that it seemed not to be engaging. I mean, from my reading of the polls, I know you can't trust polls and we have to wait till May the 6th, I absolutely agree with that, but from my reading of the situation, people haven't really responded to that, or haven't yet responded. I mean, 7 days to go.
I think people have absolutely responded. I think that the response that I'm getting on the doorstep indicates that. These are real live people as opposed to statistics and opinion polls, and they're very positive and very fired up. They want change. They want rid of the Labour government, and they also want to send a message to the Lib Dem Council locally here.
So let's talk about my local constituency. I know a lot of people here. By no means are we all the same political complexion. They just don't really seem to think that immigration matters that much.
Well, obviously different issues matter to different extents for different people, and it may be that particular issue doesn't engage your friends, and while other ones would. There's different things for different people. I don't think there's necessarily some sort of conclusion to be drawn from it.
In the last election, I studied, I think there was something like 13,000 people voted in this constituency. I think there was something like 6,000 or 7,000 Labour majority. Which the Lib Dems conflate, don't they? They confuse it with the local government, saying there's only 12 votes in it. No, there's 7,000. And then there's a large gap, and then you've got the Greens actually and the Conservatives at about the same level. So that's the sort of situation you're coming into. Do you expect to be ahead of the Greens in this election? Do you expect to be ahead of the Lib Dems in this, after the count?
I look really and draw tremendous comfort from two things. First of all, our performance in 2004 in the mayoral elections when we came second. And these are more recent data than the ones that you're referring to.
Yeah.
And secondly, the reaction that I get from people around. If you go up a street and with a blue rosette on, you will be inundated by people coming up to you and saying, wanting to shake your hand and saying how much they want to get rid of the Labour government, and equally send a message to this council because they're absolutely sick of it. So I look at those two things, and I think on the one hand, recent data, on the other hand, today's events, which I personally have experienced, and I go from there.
Personally speaking, mm-hmm. what motivates you to seek the office?
My main interest is in education, and coincidentally enough, Islington actually performs particularly badly in those terms, unfortunately. Two years ago, Islington was ninth worst in the entire country for education. Last year, it was in the bottom third of the education results. And this is not for want of effort by teachers and head teachers, all of whom come across to me as an extremely dedicated and committed bunch of people. It's a question of the system, and it's a question of the way that the schools are managed, and the question of the curriculum that people follow. All of these things we would sort out, and I'm absolutely delighted that we would allow, for example, a child who wanted to go to a private school to go there and pay the fees for them, if those costs were less than the cost of a state school place that year. And that seems to me to make perfect sense. Why clog up the state school system if we can pay for that child to go elsewhere and for the same or less money? It seems to be very pragmatic and very sensible. We're also very focused on school discipline, as I'm sure you're aware, and the concept of turnaround schools, I think, is an excellent one for two reasons. First of all, it's very important to get these children out of the class where they're causing disruption to allow the majority of children to learn. And secondly, because we don't want to leave these children behind themselves, and there's a danger that with any system of exclusion, that's what happens. We've addressed this, and in setting up the turnaround schools, which will have specialists in behaviour, for example, and all the different requirements that these children have, which often are very different from the mainstream requirements, hopefully they will be able to get a decent education out of the process and get back into mainstream schooling and get themselves back on track. And I think that that's tremendously hopeful, actually, and that's exactly what we should be doing. So I'm very encouraged by these policies.
What's your line on Palestine? How would you provide a solution to that thorny problem?
It is a huge problem indeed. I think that we need to do anything that we can to encourage stability in the Middle East and to encourage democracy in the Middle East. And to that extent, if that is what results from this war in Iraq, I think that that is a good thing. But it's incredibly important that some attention is given by the next government to solving this problem. Incredibly important, because it seems to me that that whole area is reaching very dangerous proportions.
Okay. Melanie, you've lived in the borough how long?
I don't actually live in the borough.
Oh, pardon me.
But if I'm elected, I'll be delighted to move. Absolutely delighted.
Okay. Of course, that's what Boris Johnson said. He still lives around the corner from me and represents Henley. And he's my neighbour still.
Right.
You know he's a neighbour of ours, don't you?
Yes. Oh, I didn't know you lived...
Oh, no, he lives two streets from me.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I see him jogging past in his ineffable
along.
Way.
Yeah.
Actually, I like Boris, and I have actually gone on record as suggesting that he is the best candidate for Henley, just to let you know. Mm. So whereabouts are you living now, then?
I live in West London, but I'm absolutely delighted if the electorate gives me an opportunity to move here, at which point I could actually afford to buy a place here as well. As
you mean you're kept out by the terrible property prices?
Property prices are just zoomed up, haven't they?
Oh, no, so they have.
It's good for you if you own your place, I guess.
Well, if there's anything else you'd like to say to go on the record, then feel free to add something.
Well, thank you for coming along, and thank you for giving me the chance to discuss various things with you. And I just encourage people to really think about their lives and the opportunity that is currently in front of them for change, and to understand that we have a Labour MP, a Lib Dem council, and the option for change is the Conservative one. So if anyone wants to get in touch with me, they're more than welcome via my website, www.melaniemaclean.com. And with that ad, I guess I'll sign off.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.